Okay, so the Ron raises, and what I think is a phenomenal question. If you want, the other sugya I was going to do with you guys, which is even more basic, which is that why isn't Purim over the Isser of Baal Tosef? Meaning that there's a prohibition in the Torah to add. So you're adding to the system of, you're adding. It's not my question. It's not my question. Saying, it's a Gemara's question. Okay. Right, so there's a Ramban that takes this up in Dvarim, but we're not going to take that up. The question he's asking here is a very simple question. What do we know working backwards? We know that... So what do we know for sure? We know there are 2 days of Purim, okay? I know in America, you never experienced that. In Israel, actually, at the end of the sugya, we'll take up some interesting practical, a little bit of practical, okay? So Chaim Avadia has a fascinating response on this, talking about like cities like Tveria, Akko, Jerusalem, other cities around Israel where... What? But in America, you never experience the idea of Purim on Tesvav, except for that you're off from school usually, and right, you guys are. So what don't you do in Shushan Purim? You don't say Tachanun. That's everyone's experience of Shushan Purim in America. You'll see here, by the way, today. I always recommend guys to go to Yerushalayim on Shushan Purim. It's a fascinating experience. Anyway, but the question that Ron raises is such a fundamental question. His question is, how is it possible the sages could ever come up with this holiday being 2 separate days? That's a violation of Torah Achas and Mishpat Echad, which means one Torah, one system of law, right? You can never have a phenomenon, like for instance, we can never say as follows. We can never say, okay, well, people who live in, I'm going to say this carefully, people who live in Israel will celebrate Sukkot on this day, and people living in, let's say, America will celebrate on this day. No. We all start the same day, and then what do you do in Chutz Laaretz? No. You treat your noheg the second day. You treat the second day as if it were a day of Yontov, right? But that's just taking the first day idea and extending it. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that if I live in a walled city, right, I celebrate Purim on a completely different day than you who lives in Modi'in. There are 2 separate days of Purim. What would ever push the sages to do this? Now remember, as a preempt to this, this is a rabbinical mitzvah. Okay, how many rabbinical mitzvahs are there? 4. Okay, that's it. Not prohibitions. There's tons of those, as you guys are well aware of. One of them is Purim. Okay, so the sages, what? So the question is, what would push the sages to ever say we're going to have 2 separate days of Purim? It's a very odd idea. Think about how crazy it is. On this year on Purim, on the 14th, we'll be celebrating. We'll be reading Megillah, where people live in Yerushalayim will be having a regular day. What would ever drive them to do this? Now. A couple of guys were bothered by the fact that I started off with the Ron instead of the Gemara. The reason why I did is because the Gemara doesn't raise this question. The Gemara takes it axiomatically. There is one Gemara in Yevamos that does question the idea of Los Siskodidu by Purim and the 2 days idea. But essentially, the Ron is the person who brings it up, and I think presents it beautifully. It brings up this question, okay? It's a very basic question. Why is Purim 2 days? Yeah. Why are there 2 days of Purim? Yeah. No, to respond to you, Teeter, even if you don't want to say that it's a tactical violation of it, because this is not a tactical issue, yeah. Conceptually, right, why would you ever want this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the question.
Okay,
so
why?
I don't think it's a violation of like that.
Fine, it's saying, but you don't want to present the Torah, you don't want to present a halachic institution, a celebration of a day as 2. Again, let's use Tisha B'Av. Imagine I said, if you live here, you mourn the destruction of the temple on this day, and there on that day. I mean, that'd be crazy. It doesn't sound like, that doesn't make any sense. Is it?
Historically different.
Maybe I already gave something away.
When they were already intoxicated.
Klar already knows the Gemara. Klar knows Megillah. He's done it 16 times. We know that 17. The Mishnah is going to tell us, why do we do this first? Because the Mishnah is going to have the following case. It's one of the most famous cases in Gemara Megillah, which is, if I am a Jerusalemite, or meaning I live in a walled city, right, and I'm stuck in Modi'in, which is an unwalled city, right, when Yud-Dal Purim starts, what do I do? That's the question the Mishnah can take up. But you can't appreciate that until you understand this. Okay? So, Darius, let's go. What's the first answer? Okay, stop. Sorry, Lefikach. Keep going, sorry. Oh, stop. Okay. So far, so good? Okay. So the Ron, first step, conceptual step, okay? What's he saying here? Well, just tell me literally what he's saying, Darius, before we understand
that. We should celebrate on the day that the people basically beat their enemies.
Okay. So what are, Chazal are facing an interesting problem, okay?
Attention.
Attention, if you will. That's correct. What are Chazal? What's the in creating a holiday? Okay, let's use not Shavuos and not Sukkos. Let's use Pesach as a precedent. Okay, now Pesach comes out on which day? Well, no, Tesvav, right? Tesvav Nisan, right? Because what happened on the 15th of Nisan, as recorded in the Torah, we good. So what? Why do we celebrate Pesach on the 15th? Because that best commemorates, that captures the historicity of the event. Right? It's taking something historical and putting it into a halachic structure, which seems to make perfect sense, right? That's why, by the way. So the Ron's first step on a simple level is, what's the problem Chazal are facing? It's a very simple problem. The problem is that there were a lot of Jews, so remember, there's two kinds of cities, unwalled and walled, okay? Or actually, let's make it simple. I'm sorry. Let's use Shushan and unwalled, okay? So in Shushan, that distinction is very important. So yeah, you're right, 100%. So in Shushan, there was Jews had a certain historical experience of being saved and celebrating, right? As Megillah records, and in unwalled city, they on a different day they had that same victory over their enemies and subsequent party, right? So you had the same experiences happening on different days. Okay, so the problem is if we want to capture the historical remembrance in the very fabric of the holiday, you would have to have it as two separate days. Okay? Yes. That's a good question. Not that yours wasn't good. That's a good question. Right? So why not make Purim 2 days for everybody? Okay? Interesting. What? Why not make Purim a 2-day celebration? That's a good question. We'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that. Yeah. The problem we're gonna have to solve is reading into the Ron. We're gonna have to figure out how Torah Achas Mishmar Achad is still maintained, but at the same time having two discrete historical expressions. That's the key, which I have an answer for. Yeah. One of the harder parts to appreciate why this question is so strong is because we've been so minhugified today. And we're so used to Jews doing things so differently, right? Which is unfortunate. You know, you have like the Canadian minhagim and... Right, so there is an idea of minhag amakom, which is you do see when it comes to 2 days, there's some questions, do I go against the minhag that I'm in? But that's not an ideal, meaning ideally, and that only really comes about through minhag, but in pure halacha, like that minhag is not pure halacha. In pure halacha, like Doraisa and rabbinical law, you don't want a situation, it would never be good to say, if you're from this town, it's prohibited to ride a horse on Shabbos, but from that town, it's permitted. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be one unified system, especially when it comes to a celebration of a holiday, yeah. So the response to Dardic would be very simple. There's a Doraisa system and there's a Darbana system, meaning that Drabbanan are going to have a darn good reason to go ahead and create 2 days. In other words, you're right. The Torah does have delineations, right? It's not like putting that to the side. The question is, but now this is the question on the rabbis. The rabbis are coming along and making up a mitzvah, right? What would push them to make it 2 separate days? Okay. But now you have another more subtle question he's about to ask, which is that, okay, fine. So let's say you want to say the reason why is they want to create that there are two different historical experiences. That's very nice, right? But the problem is though, is that, well, from a Shushan perspective, how many Shushanites are we talking about?
700.
Right. Well, okay. Make up a small number. Okay, and how many Jews outside of Shushan? The rest. So let me get this straight. You're trying to tell me that because of those small number of Shushan people, we're going to create a whole separate day of Purim? That doesn't make any sense. Meaning, it's very odd to say, well, there was one city where Jews had an experience on one day, and every other city around the world where this threat took place, they had it on a different day. So because of that one small city, we're going to make it 2 days of Purim.
One small city?
It was actually the capital. The Ron's going. I'm creating the bias and the slant for a reason because the Ron's about to address that. Okay.
That's where the whole story takes place.
Right. That, right. Darius, go on. Go. What does he say?
Kol ha krokim ha
Mekavim Choma with Shushan, she'ena Mekavim Choma. Wait, it's saying that Shushan actually didn't have a wall?
Right. Mimnei Shabahaya Ikaranes. Okay, next step, okay? We're going to come back to, I have a kind of a grand unified theory of what Chazal tried to do here, but let's go into more details. Now, he's something amazing. You should have jumped out of your chair when you saw this. This is crazy, okay? What is he saying? He's saying that, okay, well, you're right. The question I just asked was, the Ron agrees, exactly. The Ron agrees is a very good question. The Ron's saying, well, Shushan's one city, right? Okay, now think about what he says. He says here, well, what are we going to do? We're going to take walled, this is very difficult. We're going to take walled cities, okay? Now, was Shushan walled? No. So we're going to take a characteristic of cities that has nothing in common with Shushan and say what?
Put them together.
That's like Shushan. What? You can't just do that.
Well, okay.
The Megillah does record it, but you're sidestepping a question. The question is as follows. What I could have said was, is that, okay, Shushan and every city that has people who wear slippers in it, or Shushan and any city that is red, or Shushan and any other city that is whatever, any other characteristic. Meaning, what is it about Mukafim? If you got to the Ramban has a... Exactly, the Ramban fits perfectly. But according to the Ramban, what is it about Mukafim? What is it about Mukafim, about being walled, that now I'm going to say that Shushan and walled characteristics. Meaning, what the Ramban is saying is that you can't just... What the Ramban is saying is like this. What you could have said was, is that, okay, Shushan's not enough. Whatever reason why, okay? So now what we'll do, I'll take out a map. I didn't have such good cartography back then, but I'll take out a map and I'll say, okay, well, these cities as well, right? But the problem is, there's nothing those cities share in common. So he's looking for something that cities would share in common, which he's going to say is walled. We can call that X for those mathematical people. We'll call it X for the time being. So any city that has X. But Shushan doesn't have that same quality. Why not say any city that begins with a shin? I'm just saying that would have been easier, right? I would have said, okay, well, at least there's something I see they share in common. Okay, yeah, that's even better. Yes, Zeb Granik is correct. Capital cities, right? Capital cities. And then, sorry. And the last one is that Shabaya Ikar and Ace. So what do we care that the Ikar and Ace took place in Shushan? Why does that matter? Why does it matter that Ikar and Ace took place in Shushan?
Oh, that seems to be the crux of the making of Shushan Purim, no?
Okay.
Hold on. Do we know that Ba is referring to Shushan and not the day,
No, it has to be, what do you call it? Because that's true. Factually, that's what happened. The Ikar Nase took place in Shushan.
We're talking about Shushan, and we're saying that on their day, Shabbat, meaning...
So because Shushan had that additional day, right? So that additional day now, somehow he's calling the Ikar Nase, okay? But I do think this story, I think he means the story's primary location is in Shushan. That means it makes more sense to read it that way.
Yeah, the story's
primary. Right.
So everyone else who was celebrating the entire, Purim... didn't know anything that was happening in Shushan. They had no idea about Queen Esther or Mordechai or anything. They didn't know that there was a decree passed for people to attack.
No, I definitely
knew. No way.
How else did they pass?
That was happening in Shushan.
But what's bothering the Ron here? Okay, the Ron is he's struggling. He's trying to say, let's start from the Ikar Nase part. I think. In other words, the Ron is saying, since the essential, I'm going to read it my way. Since the essential miracle took place in Shushan. Okay. So what's the first step to make? What's the Ron suggesting here? The Ikar Nase took place in Shushan. Let's learn it that way. That the most important events of the story take place in Shushan. So therefore what?
Therefore everyone should be on the
pitch.
Okay, except 1 second. No. Because no. It's the opposite. Because there's no question from a quantitative standpoint, right? Where were the most people saved? Outside of Shushan.
Shushan. So
right.
The Ikar Nase was not Shushan.
And yet he says the Ikar Nase is Shushan.
No.
From a qualitative standpoint, though, Shushan was saved more of the Jews.
Okay, but no, more than that.
Everywhere else.
More than that. You have to know about this. Just know a little about the story. Okay, in other words, I want to understand, what does he mean? He says that, we have to work backwards. He says Shushan is Ikar Nase, and backwards from that, he's going to say, then he's going to use that to extrapolate to walled cities. And then justify why you need the 15th day. Just to go in logical order. Let's just start from the Ikar Nase idea. I'm going to frame the question to help you. This is the way to frame the question. What's the? He's trying to show you a relationship between the unwalled cities to Shushan. Or all the other cities to Shushan. To make it even better. All the other cities to Shushan.
All of them should be on the 15th if they're all Shushan.
Well, hold on. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
The salvation of Shushan is what caused all the other salvations.
Okay, good. So what you definitely see, yes. What you, the way the story goes is that it's because of the overturning of the edict in Shushan that now allows for what to take place? For everyone to be saved, okay? So meaning that if that's true, right, so it will be, even though what I would say VP Svara is that, well, why do we ever celebrate a Shushan Purim? I'd only celebrate a Purim for everybody because the majority of people were saved outside of Shushan. But there has to be some recognition of the unique stature that Shushan had in this story. And the unique, one second, let me finish. The unique stature it had is that the story's headquarters is there. The takana is there. The fact that the Jews are saved is only because of what happens in Shushan. So there's a relationship of dependency. So it would be inappropriate not to have some recognition of Shushan in the holiday. Right. In other words, Kanarik's right about one thing. Okay. As always about one thing. We gotta understand, like, what's happening here. What's happening is that during this historical period of time, on the 14th of Adar, you have all the Jews rising up against their enemies and defeating them. And then it continues into Shushan. Okay. But that's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is that conceptually, the Iker, right, the story is founded in Shushan, which means there has to be some acknowledgement of the reality of Shushan. So one second, let me just make one more point, and then you can ask. So therefore, what do Chazal say? They say as follows. Purim starts on what day? The 14th. But if I started Purim on the 14th, right, is there any differentiation whatsoever of Shushan in that celebration? No. So therefore, I'm going to say this carefully, I must continue Purim into the 15th. That's the key. Oh, no, don't say why we don't celebrate it then. I'll get to that. But what the Ron is suggesting is that there has to be in the celebration of Purim something that shows that Shushan is different from everything else. Nerds, Granick's right. This is what he's right about. The fact is that by us, it doesn't mean we have to celebrate it, right? We'll get to why soon. But rather, it's the fact that such an institution exists guarantees that Shushan will be separate. But let me just say, one last point. I promise, one last point. But now you see why the Ron is stuck with this approach, okay? And why the Ramban will be easier. Why is he stuck? Because you got one serious problem. The problem is that, okay, well, that's very nice, but no. The problem is like this. The problem is, well, who's going to celebrate Shushan Purim? People in Shushan, right? So now the problem is that in your very desire to go ahead and ensure there is a special celebration of Shushan Purim, it'll die out because you're only going to have like five people, whatever, over time will ever celebrate Shushan Purim. The last Jews in Shushan in Persia will celebrate Shushan Purim. That's bad. Meaning we need to have a representation of a serious percentage of Jews celebrating this as well to keep Shushan as being chashuv. Okay? Good question. Doesn't mean there was no nace on the 14th. What was it? What is the nace of? There's two nesim to, I don't use that miracle, but there's two important aspects of the holiday. One is our victory. What?
No, he just doesn't like using the word.
Well, I don't want to use the word miracle here. In other words, There's the fact that we were our victory. What were they celebrating? Mishta, Visimcha? It was our victory over the enemies, right? But what I'm saying is that, but because of Shushan, it was the overturning of the takana of the edict by Ahasuerus and Haman, right? That led us to be able to conquer enemies. So there's a dependency there. You understand? There's a dependency. It's not just the reversal edict per se. It's all the things, all the events, everything. The fact that Bixan Vesaresh were what do you call plotting, and every single, all the political back and forths. Yeah, back, there you go. Right, that were taking place. All that points to, all that's part of the reversal of takana. It's not the historical that day. It's all these Ahasuerus not sleeping at night. All these disparate events that came together to bring about this result. So that lacks any historical day. There is no historical day that took place. Shushan there's a requirement to keep Shushan as a chashuv concept, and without according in the Ron's way of learning, without a one day of Purim, it's like the recognition of the centrality of Shushan in this entire phenomenon. That's what he's suggesting. Okay, you're right. Historically, there could be a day I can pinpoint as the Edict Day, right? But he's saying it's not just the edict being, it's not the event of the edict being overturned. It's everything part of that. It's the fact that the second party, every single part of that story leads to that conclusion.
Well, why do we pick the 14th?
Cute, but wrong. Because you got to remember, not bad. again, we're trying to. Maybe I should play this other card now. But okay, let's think about the structure of the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. I always like to start with this. I talk about this before the Suda itself, but just to give a brief point. I'm not going to get into the controversy of drinking on Purim. Right. But what we're trying to capture is we're trying to capture the victory celebration of that time. Right. Exactly. We do. Today, when our Mishnah B'Simcha is literally saying we're doing the same Mishnah B'Simcha that they did. It's a victory celebration, okay? That being the case, so what they're saying is that's really when the kvias, when the ability to create the chag emerges. It only comes about because of this phenomenal celebration. And what are they celebrating? The victory over enemies, okay? That's really, ultimately, the historical event that we're celebrating on that day. But the problem is, if we just stop there, all you would think is that, okay, we were victorious over enemies. What does this story fit in? The story is based around Shushan. Okay, so we need another day, so to speak, to say, to ensure that Shushan is still elevated to its centrality in the story of Purim itself. You understand? It's not a historical day. Okay, and the fact that they continued fighting, see, that's what Dov is. There's the fact they continued fighting on the 15th is the reason why Chazal can now say, oh, there's a continuation of Purim taking place. They don't make up a separate day. They can build off a pre-existing phenomenon. Okay? Yes. I'm going to take Zev's line even further, with your rishos. Okay. So, in other words, on the 14th, you got to keep, you're forgetting this. They, the Jews, back then, said, today we are celebrating, right? And they drank, and they said halal, and they were so happy, and they said, this is an amazing day that we were saved. And Chazal are trying to capture that reality. The Purim you have today in Yud Daled is that celebration. You couldn't say, let's wait and push it off the 15th, because that would not be historically accurate. They celebrate on the 14th. See, according to Teeter, the mistake you're making is very simple. Okay, good.
That sounds like it should be
that. And maybe it is. See, again, another error you're making.
It's not.
It is. Well, as you'll soon see, if Purim were actually two separate Yomim completely, that'd be a violation of Torah Achas. It's not that there's 2 days of Purim, okay? There's one, as you'll see, there's one day, all right, one unit of Purim. It's just a question now that's going to be is, when is the mechayev, when is the obligation to discharge my mitzvos or my commandments take place? But it's only one overall unit of Purim. They didn't create 2 separate days of Purim. That's the key. They didn't. That's right, that is Torah Achas. In other words, you gotta understand this, it's hard to conceptualize this, okay? When Yud Daled starts, okay, the day of Purim starts for everybody. I don't care if I'm in Jerusalem or here, the reality of Purim comes into existence the moment the 14th starts. The only question now is gonna be, as we'll get to in our halakhic sugya, the discharging of my obligations, depending on what kind of city I'm in. But the reality of Purim exists. It's not that there's a mitzvah of Yud Daled or Yom Yud Daled and Yom Tesvav that are 2 discrete expressions of a holiday. That's absurd. It's one Purim. It's just that because of these experiences, we're going to have 2 discrete expressions of it. Okay? And then what the Ron is saying is that we piggyback off, was we take the celebration of the 15 that took place in Shushan, and then we consecrate that. There was really no need to do that. Right? But we have to save that celebratory Shushan aspect. Why? Not because of the number of Jews who were there. Because of the importance that Shushan has. What? Because if the 14th comes along, right, and we don't have a separate day that says Shushan, right, that Shushan was important, then there's a fear that the centrality of Shushan in the story, that the dependence of 14 being saved had on Shushan will be forgotten, will be lost. And that's why the Ron, I mean, you have to say this, the Ron. You don't have to say the Ron's approach. You have to say the Ron is saying this. Why? Because that's why the Ron struggles so much to show you why now we have to save Shushan from extinction. Because what's going to happen? What's going to happen is very simple. No one's going to celebrate Shushan Purim. Because Shushan eventually, what's going to happen? It will no longer be it's no longer be the capital city. Jews won't be there, whatever. The point is, it'll be lost in history. Right, so what do they do? I just want to make one more point. What do they do? So it's brilliant. So now they got to figure out some way to ensure they got to keep Shushan alive. How do they do that? So they need to find more cities. Now, before you ask, what is it about walled cities? Right? Why would they choose walled cities? Why?
They didn't
didn't celebrate
the Ramban.
No, the Ramban, that's a different approach. According to the Ran, why do they choose walled cities? Okay, Bate Arechoma. Why would they choose walled cities? I told this to you guys before. Yeah, Rafi, yeah. Oh, hold on, Tanner. If you guys know, there's 10 levels of Kedusha, 10 levels of holiness, right?
What?
10 levels of holiness in don't worry about it. Don't worry how that works. Like, oh, for instance, the innermost sanctum of the temple is considered the... Okay. Starting from Israel. Israel is the lowest level of Kedusha. There's something unique about Israel versus every other country. That's expressed halakhically. I don't mean just spiritually. I mean halakhically, okay? What's the next level, though? Walled cities. So I don't care why. Walled cities have this special importance in Judaism halakhically. It has to do with Tzaras and Tumah. That's a separate issue. Why? But the point. So what do they do then? All right. So when they want to ensure that Shushan Purim is still celebrated. So what do they do?
They take the one
halachic differentiation that exists in cities that already have and use that as the mechanism to expand Shushan. See, they can't just, I know you guys hate when I say this, they can't just make up any city characteristic, because if it were me, I'd say any city that begins with a shin, right? No, they got to use some halachic precedent. So it turns out there is one kind of city out there that has a halachic, prominence. And what is that? Walled cities, right?